Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the latest in our What If series, where we've asked a whole array of writers and thinkers to ponder the question of what having an African-American president might mean for this country. Columnist Jeff Yang is going to give us his take in a moment. But first,
why would you vote?
With the election less than a week away, it all pretty much comes down now to who actually shows up at the polls. For months now, everybody from civic groups to big-name celebrities have been working hard to get out the vote.
Who cares about global warming and the fact that
our polar ice caps are melting?
I hear polar bears can swim.
Does that matter to you? Because if it does, then maybe you ought to vote.
This celebrity stock ad is just one of the many pushing people to get out to vote and, frankly, trying to make them feel bad if they don't. But despite all these entreaties over the years, this is still a country in which just over half of eligible voters actually go to the polls. So we wanted to see how the other half is living, so to speak. We've invited three guests who tell us they don't plan to vote this election day. We're joined by Warren Higgins. He's a loan officer for a real estate firm in Philadelphia. Tony Nam is a graduate student in New York. And Brian Shelton is a youth pastor in Birmingham, Alabama. And I welcome you all and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right, let me start with Mr. Higgins. There's, you know, so much excitement leading up to this election, long primary. For a lot of people, it's just inconceivable that they wouldn't vote. So how come you don't want to join the party, Mr. Higgins?
The last time I voted was in 1980. I voted for John Anderson, an independent party candidate for president. And since that time, I have been seeking other candidates that would tell the American people what they need to hear and not what they want to hear. And since then, it's been a rare occurrence for me to find those candidates. And when I don't find them, I sit it out as my form of protest.
Brian, I hope you don't mind my pointing out you're African-American. A youth pastor, and you tell us very conservative. Now, a lot of African-Americans and a lot of younger folks very excited about Barack Obama. A lot of very conservative folks very excited about Sarah Palin. Neither of these tickets tempts you.
Not at all. Not at all. First, with Obama, I believe he represents the perfect political storm, as to say it. I mean, he's very popular that he can get away with almost anything. And I think that's very, very dangerous. And with Sarah Palin, I mean, when she was governor, the only flag she said she had in her office was a flag of Israel. As an American, I have a very, very big problem with that.
Tony, what about you? Have you ever voted?
No, actually, I haven't. As far as New York is concerned, it's a non-swing state. So it's most likely going to vote Democratic. So my vote doesn't necessarily count. So why should I?
Wait, but that sort of presupposes that you would be voting Republican or not Democratic.
Well, I mean, I don't like to affiliate myself with a particular party. I don't even like the two-party system as it is now. Mm-hmm. Parts of me agree with Republican, parts of me, you know, Democratic. So it doesn't really matter what political affiliation they have. It's more about what they say.
Do I hear each of you saying that is it mainly that you just don't think it matters? Warren, let me go back to you. Is it that you feel there really is no significant difference among the candidates, or is it that you just feel that unless a candidate really speaks to you personally, you don't want to participate?
It's more of a dissatisfaction with the process. I think I heard both Tony and Brian allude to the fact that I think all three of us are very disenchanted with the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And these are the choices that were offered that are realistic alternatives as far as winners are concerned. So I choose not to vote and not validate the system which generates those two candidates. You mentioned to start the interview that 50% of the American people don't come out to vote. That, to me, says that there's extreme dissatisfaction with the system. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the most rational way I can think of to express my voice.
Brian, what about you? Do you feel that you are, in fact, engaging in your own form of protest?
It brings a self-satisfaction. I'm satisfied with my decision. I mean, both candidates, their rhetoric might be different, but their pathology to me will still be the same. I mean, I just can't trust Barack Obama for, you know, just anything, because to me, he's just more or less a media hype. He's received more contributions from Wall Street than anybody else. Yet he passed this bailout, or he voted for the bailout, which Goldman Sachs has a guy who's on the inside in the bailout, which was Henry Paulson, who Newsweek called King Henry. You know, this stuff bothers me as an African-American and as a voter.
Can I ask you this, Brian? I hope it's okay that I'm asking you this. Birmingham, Alabama was called during the Civil Rights Movement Bombingham for the violence that was directed at civil rights protesters. And a lot of that violence was directed at people because they wanted to fully exercise their rights as citizens, the right to vote. And you have to be aware of the price that many of your forebears paid for the right to vote. Do you ever think about that in choosing not to participate, something that people sacrifice so much to do?
You know, I've really thought about that. And the way I see it is that they died for me to have the choice to vote. I mean, now I have the right to vote. Well, a right encompasses a choice automatically. Like I said, I did vote in the primary. I voted in my local election. So me sitting out one election where I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, am I immoral for that? Am I wrong for that? I don't think I am immoral. I think, you know, just because, you know, my grandmother, quote unquote, got bit by a German shepherd and sprayed by a water hose, I'm disrespecting her by the fact that I'm not voting in this election. I think that's, you know, it's very wrong thinking.
It's only a choice if it can be exercised in either direction.
Exactly.
And Tony, do you mind if I ask a similar question? I know that you're of Korean descent. So would it be accurate to say that at some point family members immigrated from...
Yeah, some, my parents immigrated here.
My parents are... So they're first-generation Americans.
First-generation, yes.
And do they vote?
My mother does, yes. She got her citizenship about 10 years ago. So did my father, but you know, he's not as involved. But it's
a similar question because you see that so many people, and you know, the immigration industry is such a big deal that there's so many people coming here. And part of the reason they say they're coming here is they want the right to exercise a choice, which is not available in some countries, some countries where the election system's totally corrupt or it's a sham or it's not, you know what I mean, that really can't exercise a choice. And so some people say, gee, you're here, you're born here, and you have this right. How can you not exercise it? What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was my parents' intent that I vote. But just, I guess, have an opportunity for a better life, as most people do when they immigrate in here. But as for me, it's not even about the presidents, per se. It's just this whole system, how it's set up. I get, you know, grilled by my friends as well. You know, why aren't you voting? You know, it's your obligation to vote. But I don't see it that way. Voting became a thing now. It became a fad where, you know, the political parties get, you know, all these famous kind of endorsements, and now it's like a popular thing to do, especially now that there is, you know, an African-American candidate. They're saying, you know, it's a change, it's history. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that, but to be honest, I think a majority of my friends still think that popular votes have an effect on, you know, who will be president, and they don't understand how the Electoral College works.
Yeah.
And when I try to explain that to them, they're like, well, that still doesn't mean anything.
If there were not an Electoral College system, do you think that you would vote?
I think I would, actually.
It makes you feel like it's rigged.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel better to not vote if you feel like you don't understand it? Do you feel like it's a form of protest in a way?
I mean, I wouldn't want to label it as a protest per se, but it puts me off, I guess, is the best way of saying it. It's like, I don't like the system, so I'm just going to stay away from it.
Let me jump in just for 1 minute to say, if you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Warren Higgins, Tony Nam, and Brian Shelton, three people who tell us they've decided not to vote in next week's presidential election. Mr. Higgins, can I ask you, Mr. Shelton was telling us earlier that some of his friends do not appreciate his stance on voting. Do you get this same response if you choose to bring it up? Like, nobody would know. There's no button you wear saying, I'm a non-voter, damn it, you know? So do you talk to your friends about this or associates? Do you ever disclose your stance? And do people ever challenge you?
Certainly, there's a certain stigma associated with non-voting. It's not something I advertise to anyone. It's particularly embarrassing for me in one way, in that my wife is a locally elected public official, and I've never voted for.
Oh my goodness!
So that causes some strain in the household. At
I would
irony,
think. I would think dinner must be interesting on election day at your house. Well, if you don't think elected officials are running this country, what is she doing then? How do you account for what she's doing with her time? Do you think she's deluded?
Well, she's on the local school board, which I think does reflect probably a better class of public servant. My objection to the process more relates to the what I would call the professional political class associated with both parties. I find that very distasteful. And the only time I have considered voting for any candidates have been independent candidates.
So the key issue for you is you want to see that somebody is not controlled by these political parties. And that you just feel, but you won't even vote for your wife. You're hardcore, man.
I'm a man of unusual but firm principles.
Do you consider yourself a cynic, or do you consider yourself perhaps the ultimate idealist?
It's funny that you mention that, because I have had these discussions quite frequently with people, and I'm described as both at the same time. And I'm extremely cynical about the parties, but I'm very optimistic that you could get better people. And that, you know, the old William F. Buckley joke, you know, I'd rather be governed by, 50 people, randomly selected out of the Boston phone book. I mean, and I do believe that if you selected 50 people and put them in, the Massachusetts legislature, they'd work together and come up with a plan better than what our elected officials do. So I'm both at the same time.
Brian Shelton, what about you? You think you're a cynic or the ultimate idealist?
Me personally, I think it is a little bit of both. We have people who have been in Congress and Senate for so long, have racked up so much special interest. It's absolutely ridiculous to me. And you really need people who are, quote, uncorrupted by this system. Like I heard McCain say, America's hurting right now, and, Americans are in pain. How much pain does John McCain really feel? How much pain does Barack Obama really feel? I mean, that's the big question. I mean, do you really, really know what it's like being an average Joe janitor or youth pastor in America? Do you really know what that's like? And then they bring up, like I said, Joe the plumber. You know, they love sharing stories about how they feel about him and with their tax plans. But do taxes really affect them? It's like we always have a choice between lesser of two evils. Either you get shot in the left foot or the right foot.
Can I ask you, though, I'm not sure how to ask this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm being a jerk, and I'm trying not to be a jerk.
Oh, please, go ahead. Yeah,
but,
I understand.
But does this mean that you think your fellow citizens are all idiots?
They're not idiots. I just think they're so fed up, and they're just so distraught that this seems to be the only hope that they have. That's what I think it is. I don't think they're idiots. I mean, I talk to a lot of very educated people who are in a position where they're like, I don't know who to vote for. I mean, they're just backed up in a corner like they don't have another choice.
I guess what I'm asking you is, the reason is I understand you're saying you hear a lot of people say, well, there's nobody to vote for. It's just a lesser of two evils. But we talk to a lot of other people who say, you know what? I can't wait to get to the polls. I love these candidates. I think they're great, whether it's, Sarah Palin or John McCain or Barack Obama or Joe Biden. Do you not meet anybody like that?
I'm reading a book right now because I was a public relations major, and the book is called Propaganda by Edward Bernays. And one thing he said in the book was really profound to me. He said, government is only government by the acquiescence of the people. And if the people are just so caught up in the personalities and they're not really caught up in the issues, we got caught up, like a lot of conservative Christians got caught up in the fact that Bush was a Christian and he's going to, do all these good things for the Christians. But look at the state of our economy. Look at, the war in Iraq. I mean, we still haven't found weapons of mass destruction.
So
what's
final,
the deal?
So final thought, Brian?
Final thought is, if I do vote, it'll be, for a third-party candidate. It is a coin toss for me. I will vote, if I vote, out of mainly, first of all, the respect of the people who have already passed and who fought for this, for my right to vote. But I think that Americans really need to look at the broader picture and stop taking everything at face value and really study who these candidates are, get to the bottom of them, because quite frankly, I don't think either of them has, the answers. And like I said, Barack Obama has such a mass following. Amen, he's black. I thank God he's a black man. We actually have a chance. But we have such a deep systemic racism in this country that if he's elected and the country, I guess goes to hell in a handbasket, oh, now we could blame the black man.
Brian,
and then
hardcore.
If he is elected, yeah, but
you're
yeah,
hardcore.
I mean,
you're hardcore,
but if
man.
He's elected, it's not going to change the racism in this country, because people are going to say, "Well, just relax." I mean, you have one who's president.
I hear you, Tony. What's a final thought from you? Five years from now, if you and I get together, what do you think? You think you'll be voting by then? You'll have that.
To be honest, probably not. We live in a country where most of the people don't really understand what's going on. I mean, the government is run by the elite, and most of the people aren't informed. I think the only way to kind of rectify this is, have the media, really, their coverage should be more geared towards the average person. It's not. It's all geared towards, you know, making, you know, the candidates a celebrity. And that's what they are. They are celebrities. And they're not, you know, presidency, it's almost like getting a part in a movie. Whoever's, you know, the most captivating, whoever's the most well-spoken, they're the ones that get picked. Because the thing is, in hindsight, we see from past, you know, presidents, they say one thing, they go into office, they do another. And we voted for a person, but you ended up being someone else. So what then?
Warren Higgins, final thought from you? I guess if you've got kind of a track record here, so I guess 5 years from now, if you and I get together, you probably won't change your mind that die is cast. If you won't even vote for your wife, I'm not sure what else I can say. But what do you think?
5 years from now, which I think is highly unlikely, I'd love to see greater diversity of choice in the voting booth, realistic choice, possibly a third party to develop in this country. The two major parties are pretty far apart, and I think there's plenty of room in the middle for a third party to grow, which could capture a majority of votes if the system could, you know, develop that way. And I'd ask you in the 5 years that we spend apart to spend some time helping to question the two major parties, and instead of treating the election like a horse race, dig in and find out where these people are misleading us and why they're not telling us the truth about what their plans are.
Warren Higgins is a loan officer for a real estate firm in Pennsylvania. He joined us from Philadelphia. Tony Nam is a graduate student in New York. He joined us from our New York bureau. And Brian Shelton is a youth minister in Alabama. He joined us from member station WBHM in Birmingham. All three tell us that they have decided not to vote in the presidential election next week. But I appreciate all of you voting to talk to me. So thank you all so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.